God damn it! I get it!
It was just crap. It was terrible.
I was titillated.
I know you want to go.
No, I slept with like 3 girls a night and no one ever said anything.
Dude!
Oh god, you guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
That's a little bit of brilliance that just came out of your mouth there, Justin. I like it.
Do you want to keep going?
Hey there, welcome back to another fun-filled episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here, just kicking it with my best buds in the world, Randy, Justin, and Amanda. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Fabulous.
Great. Thanks. How are you doing?
I am doing pretty splendid today because, well, not just today, but for last week, because we got an Age of Ultron trailer. Did you guys check this shit out? Pretty good stuff. Pretty action-packed. It wasn't technically supposed to come out until Tuesday, which would be the 28th of October. It was going to air with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But some nice person decided to leak it online early, and Marvel decided, hey, you know, why hide from this stuff? It's out there. Let's just release it in HD so the world can see what we want it to have. And boy, did they really hit a home run. I've been pretty critical about the villains in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, being that Loki is the only one that is really interesting. And to me, Ultron looks like a pretty badass. So what were your thoughts on the trailer, Justin?
Oh, yeah, dude. I loved every second of it, especially the the little Pinocchio creepy music.
Oh, my God. Never going to be able to watch Pinocchio again.
Oh, yeah. I know. No strings on me. That was great. One of those people has just been a big proponent of Mr. Spader. Love the man. Love everything he does. I think the guy's just a beast. I have no doubts that he will be amazing.
Yeah, Spader described Ultron as batshit crazy.
I believe it.
Now, another big moment in the trailer was the Hulkbuster armor that Iron Man wears and the Hulk presumably having a fight in the middle of the town. Was that something that excited you, Randy, or do you think that's going to be like a 2-second little quick thing?
I know a lot of people are excited about the Hulkbuster armor, but personally I don't know how it works in the books or anything like that. I'm not particularly anxious to see it for any reason, because I don't know what to expect. I don't know anything about it. It looks interesting. It looks kind of cool, because you can see in the shot in the trailer, you see the headpiece of the big Hulkbuster armor kind of goes up into place and covers the regular Iron Man headpiece. So that, I don't know. It looks weird. It looks like he's in the suit already in one suit, you know? It's like he's in his regular Iron Man suit, then in that suit, he gets into another suit.
Yeah, it works kind of like nesting dolls. Like, he's in, like, right. The mark, whatever he's in, and then the Hulkbuster goes around him.
Okay, cool. Good that you said nesting dolls, because the analogy I was going to make is, like, Eddie Murphy in a fat suit, you know, from, like...
like Norbit. Oh, no, I'm sorry, he wasn't fat in Norbit.
But yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting. I don't really have a particular horse in the race, though.
You don't like good movies? Or the Hulk Iron Man thing?
The Hulk Iron Man thing.
Well, Hulk's probably pissed because Iron Man created Ultron, so all this shit's really his fault.
Yeah, which kind of opens the door to the whole beginning of the end, or the whole Civil War, as it were. Which should be fun, right? Everybody's excited about that.
Yeah. I want to see Captain America kick Iron Man's ass.
What? That ain't gonna happen.
Maybe.
No. Will happen.
Could.
Iron Man will shoot him with rockets.
Well, what did you think of the trailer, Amanda?
I like how Black Widow's hair is back to the short curly bob.
Chicken up the podcast since 2013. I like how Black Widow's hair...
I didn't like her hair in Captain America.
Really? Oh, yeah? You don't like it straight?
Mm-mm. Wait. No. Yeah, that's right. Is that one?
You're more a Iron Man 2 Black Widow fan.
No, definitely not that one. Her hair is way too long. No, Avengers. First Avengers.
Okay. We have gone horrifically off topic.
Well, what was your favorite part of the trailer?
Oh, I just liked every second that Ultron was on it. I thought it was just amazing. I'm completely in the same camp as you.
The puppet thing was really cool. The puppet.
Yeah, a lot of people have been like showing like freeze frames and showing like Andy Serkis's character in the trailer and pointing out that he could be Claw, which is one of Black Panther's big villains. And so,
the guy that's always trying to get Inspector Gadget?
Yeah. No, he's not a doctor. He's just a claw. And so people are speculating that we'll see Black Panther in Avengers 2. So that could be interesting, I guess. Maybe I don't care.
Nope.
We don't care.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, fuck him. Who cares?
Yes.
He's a panther. No one likes panthers. It's all about the pumas.
I kind of think the Iron Man suit within an Iron Man suit is kind of dumb. Like,
oh yeah,
sounds like a lot of metal chafing up against each other.
Yeah, why doesn't he just get in the big suit?
So he's not knocked around. It's like a protective shell.
Oh, okay.
It's like you don't wear two condoms because the friction like makes it ineffective.
It is cushion for the pushing.
Yeah. It's his Iron Man fat suit. It's his clump suit.
Exactly.
I was talking about lose weight.
He's a genius, and I don't think we should question his decisions.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be a CTs. And...
He knows what he's doing. Maybe it's for toys. You got to buy one Iron Man toy in order to use the other Iron Man toy.
There you go.
It's away from the sell more Iron Man toys.
Yeah.
I like that it was a long teaser trailer, too, because so often teaser trailers are like 30 seconds and don't really show you anything.
Well, because it's a tease. It should have been trailer number one, really.
Yeah.
If it was a teaser, it would have just said, like, Captain America, Iron Man, just a bunch of names, right?
Yeah.
That would have been horrible. And then the shield shattering or something.
Yeah, it was cool. We saw the broken shield. That was kind of cool. Or
like Ultron's eyes glowing.
Yeah, like a Terminator, like he's being built in a factory.
Like that stupid Batman Superman teaser they showed at Comic Con.
Yeah, it's
dumb. My eyes glow too, Superman. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
They're actually rumoring that we may see a teaser for Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice this holiday season, probably with The Hobbit, which would be pretty far in advance since it doesn't come out till March 25th, 2016. But who knows? Yeah, so maybe we'll get a fun little teaser.
Oh my god, that's so
long. Rumor is that it's Batman heavy, so it'll be our introduction to Batman. And then the next teaser trailer would be like our introduction into Wonder Woman, and then the full trailer would be bringing them together. So, sounds like they got an idea, marketing-wise. Sometimes DC is not totally wrong with everything they do.
I was just going to say, speaking of trailers we're supposed to be getting, aren't we going to be getting, rumor has it, a Star Wars trailer at the end of this year as well? A teaser, rather?
Maybe. I'd be excited if we did. But I mean, really the only Disney property that's coming out at the end of the year is Big Hero 6, and that comes out in November. And I can't imagine they'd put it with anything other than a Disney movie.
I don't know. I think I heard was going to put it with Hobbit, but I don't know.
Oh, really?
That'd
be, I mean, be a good movie to put it with, but it'd be surprising for Disney to pimp out a Warner Brothers film.
Right. No, I hear you.
Well, people are already there. The damage is already done. They're there to see the movie. Unless people are just going to see the trailer, which would be absurd because you'll be able to see it online the next day.
Yeah. Do people do that anymore? I remember when that was a thing. Like, what crap movie did we sit through so we could watch the episode 2 trailer before anyone else?
It was Monsters, Inc.
That crap movie.
That sounds right. I hated that movie. I'm the only asshole in the world that didn't like Monsters, Inc.
I didn't think it was that bad.
I like Monsters, Inc. Episode 1 was the one you had to sit through, either Meet Joe Black or The Waterboy.
What?
Yeah.
That was random.
And it was like a communications interruption, or a communications disruption can mean only one thing.
Invasion.
I was like, what? And then you see all the droids getting the little stacking.
That was some National Treasure logic right there. Connecting invisible dots.
This dollar bill is telling me something.
So oh, yeah, what's it telling you, Mr. Kane? Like, I should pay my taxes.
Oh.
Well, that would be exciting if it was with The Hobbit and if Batman's with The Hobbit. It actually would almost make sense since, you know, Snyder and Abrams have been, like, kind of having, like, this, like, friendly back and forth. And so it would be funny if their trailers both debuted on the same film.
Oh, see, that'd be cool.
It would.
I like it. Make it happen. Pull some strings. You know,
I know people. Let me meet my people and see what we can get going on. I got. When's Hobbit come out? I got about a month. I can make it happen. Did you hear about this Krypton nonsense they're trying to get going?
Stupid.
David Goyer, who was kind of Nolan Nolan's, you know, right-hand man during the production of the Dark Knight trilogy and was instrumental in getting Man of Steel greenlit, is apparently working on a pitch to bring a prequel sequel to Superman, not Smallville, but called Krypton. It would take place on the doomed planet of Krypton during Jor-El's reign as the supreme science dude. So that might be a thing. So I don't know, when you guys saw Man of Steel, were you guys fans of the Krypton part, or were you just bored waiting for it to get over?
No, I liked it. That's my favorite part.
It lasted longer than I thought it was going to, but I totally enjoyed it.
Wait, would it actually be in the same universe as the Man of Steel movie? Is that what you were saying? Or is it going to be a whole new take on Krypton?
Like, are they getting... What's his face? Russell
Crowe?
I think they have different actors, but I mean, as long as it's still taking place in the same vein of the show or the movie, I think that would be great.
I believe, unlike most other things in like the DC universe, that this would have connective tissue to Man of Steel and, you know, the larger DC cinematic universe, just because David Goyer, since he would be the one running it and he ran those ones, I would think that he would want to connect the dots. It would be easier for him and it would be more rewarding for him. But since there's really been no official word on if it would be connected.
I think it's a dumb idea.
Yeah? You would watch it?
I'm tired of all the superhero shit.
That's your buddy Greg Berlanti.
It's true.
Just blowing up everything.
If they're not connecting it, then there's no point. It drives me nuts that they just keep building all these new universes around existing properties.
Right.
I think it's stupid.
Well, what do you think about now there's two Flashes? I mean, is that stupid or is Grant? Do you think Grant and Gustin could hold?
I do. And see, I know Randy doesn't like the idea of them sharing the universe. Yeah, you know, he felt that he can watch this shit for free every week. Why does he want to go to the movies and see it? But I think Grant Gustin does a wonderful job as the Flash, and now he is my Flash, and I don't want to see another incarnation of it. I just want this one to be it, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah, I think, just to add to what I said last week and to what Justin's saying right now, I think it is too much too soon to have two different Flashes so soon together, so close together. You know, all in all, if I had my way, I'd like to see one unified universe, but I see the wisdom in keeping it separate. So,
right.
I will make that amendment.
Right, I don't know if I buy Grant Gustin as like a movie star guy. I mean, I buy him as the Flash on TV, but for whatever reason, I have difficulty like thinking like rest like $100 million film on him. I know that's silly considering all the money they put into the TV show. But yeah, I don't know.
Well, I don't think he needs a standalone film either. I think that he could just be a supporting role in the Justice League. Yeah,
just. Yeah,
what does it say that everyone... Show. Yeah, he uses TV show as a standalone shit, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah, that's the backstory. That's his individual solo adventures, and just trot him out to join the group occasionally. I think that would be fine.
Well, since DC is hell-bent on destroying the comic book industry film-wise, I think that they're thinking that since Marvel's hit it big with every single person they brought to the big screen, that they need to bring everyone now. I mean, because on paper, you know, the Flash would be a more recognized name than Iron Man in 2006. I mean, who wanted to see, who gave a shit about the Iron Man movies until we saw the first footage? I mean, when it was first announced, you would be like, what? I'm not going to watch this movie. Now it's, you know, made $2.5 billion worldwide.
Now not it's counting the Avengers.
Right.
The best of times, the worst of times.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm already sick of this superhero train.
I think it's getting oversaturated.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, how we have an oversaturation of, what do you call, procedurals on television. Because, I mean, those are so successful because old people like them because they're really easy to follow.
Right, but, and the problem, too, is that we only had, like, one superhero movie a year for a long time, and now Marvel's cranking out two a year, DC's cranking out two a year to match them, Fox is cranking out one a year, and Sony's still trying to pump out Spider-Man movies. And so I think it was Deadline or someone did like a rundown of every single superhero movie that's coming out till 2020. And it's like 33 superhero movies.
That's way too much.
Yeah. They're not going to, I feel like, you know, the stories are going to suffer and then the movies won't be good.
And we scrape the bottom of the barrel or with who cares superheroes like Doctor Strange.
Yup.
Mm-hmm. And who are we getting to see as Doctor Strange?
Well, that's what I was saying. Now I say Doctor Strange movie and everyone says meh, but if I say Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange, does it change any of your minds?
Nope.
Justin?
Nope.
I mean,
Randy?
Nope.
Amanda?
I might watch it.
Because of Cumberbatch?
Yeah. He's
good. She likes his hair.
He brings a lot to the table. I feel like he could turn shit into gold.
Well, he was. Never mind.
He has
the past.
He's going to be in that. Oh my god, what's it called? Where he plays Alan Turing. There's a movie. He plays Alan Turing. The guy who was credited with building the first computer.
Oh.
The British
are coming.
Worked on the first computer to try and break the Nazis' Enigma code.
Oh yeah, Imitation Game.
Oh yeah, that's okay. Sorry, it didn't even register to me that you said the name of the movie because I could not remember what the name of the movie was at all.
I didn't realize he had any part in the computer. I just knew about the Nazi shit. Randy's rubbing off on me.
So yeah,
you like it.
But yeah, like I saw a trailer for that and I think if he wasn't in it, then I probably wouldn't be interested in seeing that movie.
Well, and he's gonna get an Oscar nomination for it
probably. So. Plus, on top of which, I'm pretty sure they're gonna bring in the fact that Alan Turing was gay in that movie. So
what?
Not only is he in a World War II movie, but he's playing a gay character in World War II.
Wow, they might as well just like engrave the Oscar now. Yeah,
it's like major Oscar bait.
That's like premeditated. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I should be more excited about Benedict Cumberbatch's Doctor Strange, but I don't know if it was just because, you know, we got to this point with Joaquin Phoenix before the wool was pulled out from over our eyes, and I was really excited for Joaquin Phoenix actually for a while. And so Benedict Cumberbatch has been offered the role and he's in negotiations for the part. Nothing is finalized, but assuming that they don't have a big argument or big divide in the negotiations, he should probably be announced as Doctor Strange in the next couple days.
I also don't know anything about Doctor Strange as a character.
It's like a sorcerer of sorts.
Yeah, it's like Orpheus.
Who?
From Venture Brothers.
Venture Brothers.
Oh, I haven't seen Venture Brothers still.
It just seems... I think the announcement fell kind of flat. I was noticing on Twitter and Facebook that a lot of people were like, yeah, like, okay. I don't know if that's just superhero fatigue like we were talking about or if Doctor Strange is just one of those characters that no one gives shit about. Probably both.
There might be some Benedict Cumberbatch fatigue too.
Yeah, I could see that.
He's in a lot of shit.
I think David still has a bad taste in his mouth from Star Trek.
Oh.
I thought you liked Star Trek.
And then it was wiped out of my mouth by Desolation of Smaug. Just his voice. And, like, he sounds so bored. Like, it's, like, the worst voice acting ever. Like, I'm not afraid of Smaug. I don't think he's clever. It just seems like they, like, went to, like, a pub or something like that and recorded his voice. And he's like, I'm really going to say this nonsense? Yeah, Tolkien wrote it. We got to say it. Tolkien's king. But I'm sorry for my negativity. Let's talk about something good. Talk about chicks. Justin, what do you got going?
I like chicks. And Wonder Woman. You guys know I like Wonder Woman there. A Hollywood Reporter mentioned that Warner Bros. Is looking for a female director for the upcoming Wonder Woman film starring Gal Gadot. Now, right off the bat, the first thing that came to my mind, like many of you, is probably Catherine Bigelow. And she was definitely the first name that popped in my head because she's just... As it stands right now in 2014, I just think that she's probably the biggest female director out there, right? Would you guys agree with that?
I agree. All right. Absolutely. She can play with the big boys.
Exactly. She's got that golden guy on her mantle.
she beat her ex-husband for. It's even sweeter.
That's pretty cool. But a couple other names that I thought of that were there was a list that Forbes had thrown out, and some of the names that weren't on this list were ones that I thought of were like Amy Heckerling. I'm a sucker for her, but see, here's the thing. She's good with comedy, and Warner Brothers doesn't want to do the whole comedy thing.
Comedic angle.
Yes.
They want to be super serious.
But I think that she is a fantastic director. Some of my favorites would obviously be Clueless and freaking Fast Times. Yeah, those are both pretty old movies, but I don't think she's lost her touch. I think that she could do wonders with a movie like Wonder Woman. And
it would be good for, like, to have a comedy. Like, everyone thinks that they need to make the next Dark Knight. Like, no, you don't.
Right. I mean, it could be serious with funny tones.
Yeah.
With the undertones, comedic undertones. I'm cool with that.
Or like Marvel. That's how, like, Marvel does. Marvel does, yeah. Does a great job about that. But for whatever reason, DC, they're like, oh, well, we brought you the Dark Knight, so we have to be serious.
Yeah. Swear to me. Crap.
Yeah.
And then this other one, which I don't even know why, her name probably popped in my head because I'm not particularly a fan, but I could see her doing it for the challenge, would be Sofia Coppola. I know, right? But here's the thing. That's something that she hasn't really done before. And she strikes me as the type to rise to the occasion. I know you guys don't agree with it, but
I don't like her themes, really.
Her themes,
like all her movies, like thematically just bug me. I don't know, but you know, it better her than, like, you know, the other names thrown around, like Catherine Hardwick. You know, she did Twilight,
right?
She did, like, that movie 13 that was like the indie darling for like 5 seconds.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Catherine Hardwick either. Yeah, I agree. That Mimi Letter, what was she? Deep Impact, right?
She did Deep Impact, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty. Yeah, you know, that's a visual movie, and it's pretty intense.
Was that a blockbuster? Or was it two close on the heels of Armageddon?
I think Armageddon made more, right?
Yeah, Armageddon was the more successful of the two. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but...
But, I mean, it's still well done. I like the movie. I get so choked up.
It's Morgan Freeman, doesn't it?
Yeah, every time they give the baby to Frodo... And David's girlfriend, Lily Sobieski.
Oh,
I get choked up, dude. I'm like, get on that bike, boy. You better ride. Ride off into the hills. And it's intense.
Yeah, but it's so, like, primal. Like, they don't even, like, they don't discuss it. Like, just they both in, like, unison, like, just know what to do. They're like, all right, we got to get these kids out there.
Yeah.
It's a great scene.
It is a great scene. So, I mean, that's just something to consider. Dave, I know you're opposed to this idea of specifically looking for a woman for the role just because it cuts a lot of talent out of the pool there, and that's unfortunate. Go with the best person to do the job.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think they should, you know, approach Patty Jenkins first. You know, she directed Monster, and Marvel really wanted her to direct Thor: The Dark World. Like, they were really... really keen on the idea of having a female director direct one of their big movies. And, you know, it didn't work out for whatever reason. I'm sure we'll never know. But, I mean, she clearly has the ability to do it. And I think that she would be a great one. I would be down for any Amy Heckerling comic book movie. I don't know if they would. I don't think they'd hand the reins over for Wonder Woman. But, like, a Amy Heckerling, like, Power Girl movie or just something that's, like, kind of goofy, kind of serious. I'd be in for it.
Yeah. Write it down. We'll see what happens.
Send it in, right?
Yeah. My dark horse is Sofia Coppola, but I would prefer Amy Heckerling. That's all I got to say.
Me too.
Let's see. Next
Me
up.
Me too.
Fast and Furious 7, now known as Furious 7, and which is cool. If you look at the poster, there happens to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people on it.
Clever marketing strikes again.
Well, I tell you what. So that should be exciting. I believe we get a trailer next week?
Does that sound right? Saturday.
Yeah, and it'll actually premiere on the Facebook page. Furious 7 Facebook page. You can find a link to that on our site if you so desire.
Yeah, I like the name. I like the name Furious 7 because, you know, it was kind of Fast Five and Furious Six, so it was kind of cute. And
reminds me of the Sinister Six.
Their friends are dying.
Yeah, so they're furious. They're gonna get their vengeance. That's the tagline on the new poster, like something like "There will be vengeance" or some shit. There will be blood.
Vengeance hits home.
There you go. Vengeance hits home. Your internet's faster than mine. Yeah, I think that's a cool theme. I mean, I mean, we really haven't seen like the revenge theme in the Fast and Furious movies. Well, I guess 4, there was kind of a revenge theme, but that was more like survival revenge, you know. And 5 was all about, you know, just, you know, making it, surviving. And 6 was, you know, kind of them kind of sticking it to the man. And, you know, I want to see a hardcore Tarantino style revenge film.
Yeah, and Kurt Russell's in it, which is cool.
Yeah, and Jason
Statham. Oh my god, I'm about to just explode all over my seat.
If Tom Selleck shows up in this movie, you're just gonna just die.
I know. Man, that would be amazing. Daniel Craig, he would round out that crazy orgy in my pants.
For them.
Yes. It would be nice.
You're like, I can't pick.
So that's something to look forward to. Furious 7. And of course, that was delayed a whole year due to the setbacks from Mr. Paul Walker and his untimely death.
Yeah.
And his two brothers are going to be helping out and shooting around him. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's gonna be sad.
Yeah. Like maybe it'll just be for the kid. Like Vin Diesel says, you got to get out of here. You got a family to think about. And he'll be like, oh, dude, you're my family. And then it'll be like, oh, it's okay, man. Just go.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they've kind of said that like he'll kind of like go off into the sunset. I think that's the good way to go. But yeah, I mean, it's like I watch Knight's Tale and like it's sad, but I watch Dark Knight and it's not with Heath Ledger. I think it's just because Knight's Tale, you see him all like young and vibrant and happy, and you're like, oh man,
right, he's dead.
Not even around anymore.
Yeah,
we got screwed.
Living life in the fast lane. So moving on to some more exciting news. Actually, would be. A nice 45-minute final battle sequence with the Hobbit and the Battle of the Five Armies.
That sounds pretty long.
It does sound like a really long battle sequence.
Each army gets 9 minutes of screen time. It's gonna be amazing.
Yeah, it sounds like a long time, but at least Jackson is saying that like he wants to focus on like individuals so you don't get bored, which means that means he's at least thinking about keeping us entertained.
At least thinking about entertaining
him. Yeah, but he didn't think about it the first two movies, so third time's a charm.
I like this photo of all these arrows pointing to like a pie chart.
Do you like that?
I thought you did that at first until I swear to God, I thought that was your battle plan, Dave. I was like, holy shit, he went all out on this post, and then I see Entertainment Weekly's watermark. No joke. I thought that was you being cute.
It's like, wow, he's really thinking about this.
I was like, okay, Erebor, yeah, okay, some dwarves and eagles, and I was like, oh, fucking Edmonton, and then I see Entertainment Weekly.
Well, I'm sad I didn't do it.
I know, it seems like something you would do. You would bust out the Luke's Crayolas and go to town.
Yeah. This is important. Exactly. Not a thing of lines. Well, fun news. Thank you, Justin. What about you, Randy? What have you been watching? What are you excited about? What gets your proverbial goat going?
Well, every week I've been talking about it, and every week I get more and more excited. Star Wars Rebels. I don't know if you guys saw the premiere episode rerun on ABC this past weekend, but it included an extra 1 minute long segment featuring James Earl Jones as Darth Vader. So it was pretty cool. You got to see a holographic transmission between the Inquisitor and Darth Vader, and Vader tells him basically, the new threat is the Jedi Young. Find any Force-sensitive youth and existing Jedi that might be around to train them. It is your mission to kill them all. Oh. And it was just pretty cool. It was a pretty badass little scene. It was very reminiscent of the scene in Empire Strikes Back where Vader is kneeling and you see a big Emperor head just appear to him. And it's the same way with the Inquisitor here. You see the Inquisitor kneeling aboard his Star Destroyer and a gigantic Darth Vader head is there. But I really like the styling that they did on the Darth Vader helmet. Very Ralph McQuarrie-esque, as is the majority of the stuff you see in Rebels, but super, super, super cool. I've only seen part of this week's new episode, and Justin was telling me before we started recording that he was super excited because the voice of the Inquisitor is somebody that he's very much wanted to see in a villain role in Star Wars. So, Justin, you want to take that away?
Yeah, so back when we were doing the Star Wars rumors and speculations, probably even last year around Thanksgiving, I think, we were throwing around some names. Of course, John Noble was mentioned. I wanted either Mark Strong or freaking Jason Isaacs to have some kind of role, and it turns out Mr. Isaacs landed the Inquisitor role, so that's pretty sweet to hear his voice in the cartoon. I'm excited, yeah, dude. It's cool. It's badass. And the guy, like, Randy, you haven't seen the fight yet, but
no.
I mean, he totally just plays with his food. Like, the guy is a badass. We were like, what the hell is this guy going to do? And I'm sold, man. This guy is a villain.
Yeah, he's got the crazy motorized spinning lightsaber, all propeller style. I'm really kind of curious to see how that looks, or just how the fighting style is going to be with that.
Well, cool. I like Rebels. What else is on TV, Amanda? Anything fun on TV?
Yeah, there's lots of fun stuff on TV. Last night was the third episode of Walking Dead Season 5, and it was bonkers. Oh my god. I'm like completely back on the Walking Dead train. It's awesome this season. It's really, really good. Everybody should be watching it. You won't be disappointed.
I was really I had just made my dinner and I was getting ready to eat. And the whole like first 3 minutes, man, I was just holding my bowl. And I didn't even have anything like, you know, meaty in it, you know, it was rice and like this fried potatoes and veggie patties as smothered in like tapatio, and I was just holding on to my bowl because I'm watching them just eat poor Bob, and it was nasty, and just him talking about their metamorphosis and how they got to be this way, it was just creeping me out.
Tainted meat.
Yeah, Amanda, you called that one.
Yes, I was really excited that was the case.
He's like, it's fine. We cooked it.
Yeah, that was funny.
Wow.
Yeah, but unfortunately, we're not going to know if that would have turned any of them because they didn't live long enough to see that through.
And thank God for that, too, man. I did not want to be dealing with these fuckers for a whole season.
No.
Exactly.
That's part of why I think the season is so good so far is because they're not dragging that stuff out forever like they have in the past. Like, based on past seasons, we would have been dealing with those people from Terminus for the entirety of season 5, and it would have just become extremely tedious and boring, but they're not doing that. They're sweeping all the stuff off the chessboard, like, immediately. Every antagonist that they're bringing up, they're taking care of, like, almost immediately. So I really appreciate the fact that the story is moving along so quickly instead of the constant slow burn of previous seasons.
Yeah, so speaking of slow burn, so we got scenes for next week's episode where it's going to be what happened to Beth kind of episode, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't know who is behind Daryl in the woods when, when asked, you know, where's Carol, right? And he says, come out. So it could either be Beth coming out, Carol coming out, both of them coming out, or maybe even someone that he grabbed from the place where Beth was being held. I thought about that, too. So I'll be curious to see what that whole deal is.
I know.
Maybe it's Beth and they lost Carol. I doubt it, but
I hope they didn't lose Carol. That would be really sad. Then what else? What I'm not excited about on TV, though, is Supernatural. Unless you are completely in love with Jared Padalecki and Jensen Ackles, there's literally no reason to be watching Supernatural anymore. It has become a parody of itself. It's just so boring. Nothing's really happening. It doesn't feel like there's any real stakes at all. Even when, like, the threat of death is completely meaningless. There is no death on this show.
Nope. Boring. So boring. I have to turn it up really loud when I watch it so I don't fall asleep. I swear to God, I have to turn it up and I can't be doing anything else. I have to sit in a chair like right in front of my TV so I can pay attention, because just otherwise
forcing yourself to watch it.
Yes, exactly. And it is so not good. I don't think Dean or Sam should ever be a bad guy in any way, shape, or form. It just doesn't work.
Mm-mm.
Like, an angry demon Dean was not even remotely interesting.
Nope. Because, I mean, he really didn't even seem that different from regular Dean. I kind of talked about it in my review. I do think that Jensen Ackles did the very best that he could. And he actually did really well, I thought. Like, when comparing Demon Dean to regular Dean, I mean, if you didn't have that immediate juxtaposition in, like, the last 5 minutes of the episode, then you'd probably think, like, oh, well, I mean, he's still the same Dean. It's not really, like, this isn't different at all. But seeing him shift, I did see, or I did notice just what it was that he was doing to differentiate between normal Dean and the demon Dean. And I gotta hand it to him. He's a pretty good actor.
Yeah, he was my pick for Han Solo. You're like, I'm gonna hit the Han Solo standalone
movie. You make a really good Han Solo.
I think so.
He's very dashing.
Mm-hmm. And when he does that smile, when he does, like, the hey.
Yeah.
that's a total Han Solo smile. So, right. I don't know. I see it.
I see it, too.
It would be.
I agree. Enough. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'll write a letter.
Jensen Ackles for Han Solo.
Make it so.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong franchise.
Damn it. real quick. We were going to do shout-outs last week for TV shows that everyone's watching and that they're excited for, but it ended up they were all late and missed the podcast. So I'm just going to run through these really, 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 really quick, okay? Rapid fire.
Go.
At GusJ_ARG. He says that he's loving The Walking Dead and The Strain and waiting for Sherlock Season 4 and Game of Thrones Season 5. I would have to agree with you on those, Mr. Gus. Our good buddy Stephen Alva Wood, he likes Sons of Anarchy and The Walking Dead. Mr. Rod Faulkner from The Seventh Matrix is enjoying Sleepy Hollow, which I have to disagree with. That show's put me to sleep. Can't stand it. The Originals, which I like. Gotham, Arrow, The Flash, and How to Get Away with Murder. We've talked about Miss Shonda Rhimes, and she is a crazy broad. Not going to lie. Mr. Rob J. Mitch. He is at RobJMitch74, and he's liking Arrow, Walking Dead, and Person of Interest. At B&J Langdon is liking The Flash, Sleepy Hollow, Modern Family, and Once Upon a Time. Wow. Are you still watching Once Upon a Time, Amanda?
Nope.
Oh.
I jumped off that train a long time ago.
Done.
So.
At Brett, USC33 is liking Big Bang Theory, Sons of Anarchy, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Monday Night Football. There we go.
Football?
Yeah, it doesn't.
What is this?
That's not genre programming. So thank you very much, all of you folks, for sending in your tweets. Remember, all of you can always tweet at Geek Legacy, and we will read your tweet on our podcast.
Woo!
Hey, Randy, you got a list for us?
I do. You know, some of our favorite movies are our favorites because of some of the random improvised lines that ended up appearing in the movies. So tonight, I have a fun list for you guys. It's the 10 of the best improvised lines in film history. And I've culled this from a couple different websites, so it's going to jump around a little bit. But it's going to be fun. These are all, for the most part, they're all movies that we've seen, that we've heard of, that we love and enjoy. So you guys ready?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Number 10 on our list is from The Shining. Here's Johnny.
Oh.
That was completely improvised.
A very iconic line.
Surprised Kubrick allowed improvision. He seemed kind of a taskmaster. I'm surprised he let someone go off page.
You know, it's one of those things, they probably did it a bunch of different ways, and then the editor's sitting there cutting it together going, damn, I really like this take, and then had to end up selling Kubrick on it. Of course, I wasn't there. That's just how I imagined it happening in my mind.
I could see, like, a dark editing bay, like Kubrick, like, looming over this poor guy in a chair, like trying to tell, you know, an iconic filmmaker like how to make a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
The stuff you wrote was no good. This is better.
This is better. I re-edited it all on the improvisations. All right, number 9 on our list. But Why Male Models from Zoolander? The great thing about it is the second time Ben Stiller says it, it wasn't scripted. He forgot his actual line. And so he just repeated his previous line, which really helped drive the point home. It made for an excellent scene that we quote often. So hooray for that. Okay, now, next, Caddyshack. So the entire scene where Bill Murray is teeing up against all those little flowering plants there, and he's doing the whole Cinderella story thing, all of that is 100% improv. All that he asked for ahead of time before the cameras were rolling was that they planted like 6 rows of poppies or whatever it was that he was blasting with the clubs there, and made for yet another iconic scene. This one is one of Justin's personal favorites from Aliens. That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over. The whole game over thing, 100% improv.
That's awesome. I didn't know that. I did not know that.
Yeah, it was not scripted. That was just 100% Bill Paxton there for you.
I believe it.
Yeah.
He's the fucking man.
He is indeed. All right. Next on our list is another fun one. This is from Jaws. We're going to need a bigger boat.
Smile, you son of a bitch.
You know, and that's another one, too. It's funny because almost all the lines that are in there that make us chuckle, they weren't in the script, and they were really concerned. Spielberg was concerned about the dark tone of the film itself, so he gave his actors a lot of leeway to improv a little bit and just kind of lighten the mood occasionally. And it totally worked in that case.
That's so funny. I love that movie. That movie's fucking awesome, dude.
Now, have you guys seen Being John Malkovich?
Mm-hmm.
So at one point in time, he's down, he's dejected, he's walking along the side of a street, and somebody drives by in a car and said, "Hey, Malkovich, think fast," and chucks a beer can at the back of his head.
Oh, well, yeah.
That was not scripted. The extra who... Well, the throwing of the beer can was, but the whole line of dialogue wasn't. The extra that was playing that particular character got legitimately drunk while they were waiting for his scene to be shot, and thought it would be funnier to throw a full can of beer at the back of his head. So when you hear him shout, "Oh fuck," it's 100% real, because he was hit with a full beer. You see it like splashing out of the can when he gets hit and everything. And the guy had no lines. They ended up having to pay him from like $100 a day being an extra up to $750. And because he spoke so many words, he ended up earning his SAG card from a drunken blunder that didn't end up getting cut
out of
the movie.
Because he said, "Hey, Malkovich, think fast."
Yeah.
Oh my God. I didn't realize you had to say so little.
Yeah, it's like a certain number of words you have to say.
But if they didn't use it, would he not have got his SAG card?
He would not have got his SAG card if they didn't use that take. But they like the take so much. Shit.
Man, that's a pretty big gamble.
Yeah, it's 5 words.
Yeah. But I mean, if he would have heard him, that could have been a "you never work in this town ever again" kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that was a stupid drunken risk.
Yeah. They say it impairs your judgment first.
Oh, really?
Oh. I don't know much about this alcohol, but from what I understand, it impairs your judgment. That's what the textbook says.
Oh, wow.
Next on our list, it's from Dumb and Dumber, and it's Jim Carrey's line, "Hey, you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?" And then the sound that follows. That was completely off script.
I love that part. It's just like, that whole movie is awesome. I saw that shit 5 times.
Are you looking forward to the new one?
Yeah, I'll watch it. Just because I like Jeff Daniels more than Jim Carrey these days. But
it was fun. I'm not gonna lie. Like I liked it more than I thought I was gonna hate it. I liked it more than I thought I was.
Oh, you saw it already?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I saw it last weekend.
Oh,
fancy me. Too Dumb and Dumber too early.
All right. Hand me the keys, you fucking cocksucker.
from Usual Suspects.
Usual Suspects. Now, that line isn't improv, because that was actually the crux of that scene in the script, right? Yeah. But the fact that they're sitting there and they're giggling and they can't keep a straight face as they're all doing the line coming down the line of suspects there, that is because it was an incredibly long day. None of the actors could get their shit together, and they were just... They were just done. They were toast. So they were just laughing at anything. So they ended up keeping it. They just went for it because they couldn't get them to do a straight take of it.
That's awesome. Because Baldwin, like, freaks out, right? It's like, give me that motherfucking That is hilarious. That's a great fucking movie, dude. I love that movie.
Yeah.
It's another classic right now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. I just watched it.
So, hey, everybody, if you haven't seen it, or if you haven't seen it in a while, go watch it on your Netflix.
Heck yeah, man.
Number two on our list, this is from Midnight Cowboy, the whole scene where they're crossing the street. I'm walking here.
I like it when Michael J. Fox says it better. Back to the Future 2. Yeah. I'm walking here. I'm walking here.
And number one on our list is damn near everything that comes out of Robert Downey Jr.'s mouth in all three of the Iron Man movies. Because a lot of his great quips are very much improv. Yeah.
You don't read scripts. Scripts read him.
And, you know, it's funny, too, because that's one of the reasons, and I didn't know this until I read this article, but he was originally going to be in Gravity instead of Clooney. But the reason why they ended up going a different direction and not moving forward with Robert Downey Jr. It's because he doesn't stick on script. He has a hard time staying to the script.
And it's so funny because, like, Clooney's just natural cadence makes it seem like he's never on script. Like, he's so likable and he seems so, like, legitimately real that everything he says, like, in that movie seems like he was just making shit up.
Yeah. But that's the beauty of it, though. That's what makes Clooney Clooney.
Yeah.
Was that the last one? That was the last one. Great list.
Fun stuff.
That was a great list. So, Justin, you have a game for us?
I do, Mr. Edmondson. In fact, this is going to continue with our little October monster Halloween theme thing that we got going on. Because, of course, this is our last podcast before Halloween.
This is Halloween.
I didn't even think of that, but yes. How about that? Yeah. So in this game,
I really
game,
loved The Nightmare Before Christmas.
I did too. I actually love that song.
That's a Christmas movie.
That's true. That is true.
Oh my god, so good.
I love that movie. I like that song.
Anyway, sorry.
That's my favorite song in the movie too.
Really? Not What's This?
No, I don't really like that song. Sometimes I fast forward to go get something to eat.
Really? Yeah. Oh, it's my favorite song.
And I don't like the Oogie Boogie song either.
I don't like that one. Yeah, I agree. Anyway, moving on. Sorry for that tangent.
It's all good. Anyway, so this list is actually going to focus on the villains in scary movies. Iconic, scary characters. How about that?
Got it.
I'm going to drop a few hints on each of these icons, and you just got to name who it is. You name the character. Don't name the movie, name the character. Okay?
Okay.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. This crazy bastard runs one of those you can check in, but you can't check out type of motels.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. My brain doesn't work.
Bates.
Correct. Norman Bates. Amanda, you are correct.
Yes.
I can't believe I said Beetlejuice.
That's funny.
Wait, is he technically the villain?
He's a bad guy. He's shady. And he was going to kill, like really, really kill Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin. So yes, he is a bad guy. And he was going to marry the daughter.
Ew.
Come for
you. You know what else he is? Not the answer to the first question. or any of these questions, I'm sure. Uh-huh.
This prank caller will put your horror trivia to the test. That's wrong. It will cost you your life. Ghostface is correct, David.
Oh, is that what they called him?
Yes, Ghostface. All right, number three. This child molester was burned to death by
Freddy Krueger.
I heard David first. And later came back to haunt their children before murdering them in their sleep. Freddy Krueger, David Edmondson. All right. This giant plaything just happens to be possessed by the soul.
Chucky. Dang it.
Yes, Randy.
On the board.
You remember that My Buddy toy?
Oh, yeah.
My brother had one.
I think that was the basis for Chucky.
You'd think so, right? Wherever I go, he goes.
And then they had a female buddy. One, too.
My buddy.
Sister.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. And it was the exact same theme song, but with Kid Sister instead of My Buddy.
Kid Sister.
Popping amongst those creepy guys. A lot of guys with vans bought those things.
Yeesh. Come what they way.
Alright. Let's see. A creepy clown that dwells in the sewers, terrifying both children and adults. What did you both say?
It.
That is not correct. I want the name of the character, not the movie.
I thought it was called It.
The movie. Randy, can you pull this one out?
I have no idea what the clown's name is.
Pennywise.
Pennywise is
clown.
No one gets credit for that one.
Is it sad that I've never seen that movie?
No.
I think we should have got credit, Amanda. Or at least a follow-up, like, I need the real name.
One of the first fucking rules to my game was I don't want the name of the movie, I want the name of the character.
But everyone would have thought that the clown was called It.
Well, now is your chance to shine above everyone, and you blew it. I gave you a chance to shine above everyone else, and you blew it. Alright, moving on. This little Hellraiser has something on his face.
Pinhead?
Actually, he's got a bunch of shit on his face. David, you are correct with Pinhead.
Never heard of that.
Oh my god.
From Hellraiser?
Never heard of that.
I have three. Amanda's got one. Randy's got one. Hands on your buzzers. This is going to be a fast one. Here we go. This traveler will come in one of three chosen forms. During the rectification of the Voldrani, the traveler came as a large moving torb. But then, during the reconciliation of the last of the McKetrick supplicants, they chose to form a new form for him, that of a giant slore. Many shows and souls knew it would be roasted in the depths of the floor that day, I can tell you. Oh my god, that is the funniest line in that movie, and everyone forgets about it. Randy, you were correct with Gozer the Traveler. Holy shit. I love it when he just says, many shubs and souls knew what it was to be roasted in the depths of a floor that day, I can tell you. He's like totally out of breath. Some other language. Like, I had no idea what the fuck he was saying when he was going on that little rant. Love it. Ah, Goes the Traveler from Ghostbusters. That counts as a horror movie because there's ghosts.
Okay.
I would say it's. I don't call shenanigans.
Very good. Plus, it's my game, so I make the rules.
Oh shit!
All right. This chainsaw-wielding motherfucker reminds us not to mess with
Leatherface.
Very good, David. Killing
who?
Leatherface. David has four, Randy has two, Amanda has one. Alright. Often picked on and ridiculed as a child, this poor
Jason
drowned at Camp Crystal Lake only to return as a source of pure evil. His weapon of choice? A machete. David is correct. Five, motherfucker. All right.
I don't watch horror movies.
That's fine. You're a better person.
You've seen more horror movies than me, I guarantee you. As Justin, I am a P word when it comes to horror movies.
David is just a student of pop culture.
Yes.
That's true.
An idiot savant.
Well, then you're half right.
You got the idiot part, right?
All right. That's just that fun show from MTV. Do you guys remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Idiots. I think we both would have done very well on that show. All four of us. Except for Mana, because she doesn't watch anything.
She doesn't have a horse.
She just reads.
Yeah, I read books.
Luther.
I like how that's followed up with a That's very much a Justin thing right there.
Well, we are related.
I know. The apple does not fall far from the tree.
Nope. We share a branch, actually.
Yeah.
We don't fall.
Treehouse.
That Newton was full of shit, man. Mm. Number 10. This killer escaped from a mental hospital and returned home to Haddonfield, Illinois, wearing a jumpsuit and a William Shatner mask. David, you are correct with Michael Myers. David, you have 6. Randy, you have 2. And Amanda, you have 1. Of course, that could all
that go
out the window with the Golden Snitch.
Why don't we just rename it the David Rule?
No, it's the Golden Snitch Rule.
So Justin can screw David over rule. I like that rule better.
No, it's not the case. You might even get this one anyway.
So I might.
Calm your downs. Are you ready? Golden Snitch.
I'm ready.
It's in sight. You guys are all in pursuit. Here we go. You'll likely meet a horrific end after you turn off the lights and say his name 3 times in front of the mirror.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, shit, no.
Don't
damn
do it.
Candyman.
Yes, Amanda.
Yes.
Golden Snitch with Candyman. Holy shit, what an upset. He thought he was waiting on Beetlejuice.
Had I not had a stroke and said Beetlejuice for my first answer, I would have. Oh.
And now, you
got that stuck in your head.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to die. Now he's going to come tell me nice fucking modeling.
Yeah.
That used to kill me every time I watched Beetlejuice is when he kicked over the model and said, like, nice fucking model, and, like, honked his dick twice. Like, didn't matter, like, what mood I was in or, like, where I was. Like, I would laugh at that, like, hysterically.
I just like the term honked his dick.
How does
one honk your dick?
You need a sound effects machine. That's the cool part, though.
How would you describe it, Randy? He grabs his dick and it honks.
Does it literally honk?
It's been awesome.
Yeah, it's like, nice fucking model. Honk, honk.
All right, it makes more sense now. Although it was funnier when I didn't know it actually honked.
All right, so that is the game. Amanda is now champion. Congratulations. What an upset.
Win.
You went from 1 to 160 points.
It's amazing. Like, are you putting anything else to say today?
Don't be sad. You did really well, Dave.
Thanks.
No one can take that away from you except Amanda.
No one can take that silver medal away from me.
Randy did pretty good. He pulled out some ones that I didn't think he was going to get.
Yeah, considering I also do not watch horror films or am not really a big fan of the genre. I'm just happy to even be on the board. I'm just happy to be nominated.
There you go. What did you say first for Gozer the Traveler, Dave?
When you hyped it up, I thought it was going to be an easy one, so I thought that was going to be the Jason one.
Oh, that's right. You said Jason. That's right.
Yeah. So I'm like, it's got to be. It was the only iconic horror villain I could think that we hadn't done yet. Oh. Though I was trying to be fast, and as soon as I said it, I was feeling foolish.
Fast, do it for you.
Yeah. Pedal to the metal. Title of my life. It's my philosophy. Well, cool. Anyone got any other shout-outs? I know, Justin, you gave a couple earlier today. Anyone else want to say thanks to anybody out there in the la-la land?
Nope.
Sweet. That makes it easy. Well, we always have our special shout-outs to Mr. Tony Tolato from SciFiTalk.com. We got Tim Byers from TheFullBleed.net. You can check them out, all the cool shit they're doing. We got Andy B. He does the Flash podcast. It's definitely worth checking out now that the Flash is in full swing. The show's kind of hitting its stride. And then, of course, all of our podcasts in the Geek Legacy Network. There's the Pixelated Podcast with Justin and He Who Shall Not Be Named. And then there's the Comic Corner Podcast with Jeff and Tyler, where they talk about comics on their pull list. Both are awesome shows. I'm happy to listen to them all the time because they're amazing. Make sure to follow us on the Twitter there. Like us on Facebook, geeklegacy.com. And hate mail goes to Justin at geeklegacy.com. Do it. All right, see you guys next week.